You're listening to KR.
Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation!
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
Your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network on this Tuesday afternoon. Glad to have all of you along with us. Coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida, Naples-Fort Myers area. So glad to have all of you along with us today. It's kind of a cloudy, overcast day here, but warm nonetheless. I hope it's nice where you are as well. Just was talking to some folks up north a few minutes ago, and weather's still a little bit nasty in places. But nonetheless, if you're listening to this, you're probably all warm and cozy. I can't imagine anybody is out in the boondock someplace in the cold listening. So at least we're all warm and happy and all that today. And indeed, glad to have you along with us here on the Guy James Show. A lot to talk about today. And before I forget, just before we came on the air today, or the net or whatever, we've never decided on what we call it. We say on the air, those we old radio dogs still use those terms that you're broadcasting and you're on the air, when in fact we're actually netcasting and we're, I don't know, can't think of a better term. We'll just say we're on the air from now. But many of you are familiar with that flap that took place here a while back on the John Edwards campaign, and one of the websites involved was shakespearesister.blogspot.com. Go over there right now, and or at your leisure, at least write this down. And you've got to take a look at this. There's a video up on there right now, and it's Shakespeare's Sister, S-H-A-K-E-S-P-E-A-R-E-S, Sister, S-I-S-T-E-R, .blogspot.com. Play that video, and you'll know what I'm talking about when I talk about people being stupid. One of the most entertaining videos I've seen on the internet in a very, very long time. And if you will, take just a moment. We're playing a little game here. Take just a moment, if you will, and stop on over at TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStreamLive.com. And click on the Head On Radio over on the left side. You'll see all the radio shows that are playing right now. Click on the Head On Radio Network right there right now, if you will. Okay, everybody got that? TalkStreamLive.com and click on the Head On Radio and see what happens there. Just a little promotion, a little self-promotion, if you don't mind. My. So much going on in the political world since we last spoke. Of course, we had Tony Snow making his remarks to Ed Henry, telling him to zip it yesterday. And Tony today said, and I love to quote Tony Snow, he's such a condescending ass. And he said, let me put it this way. And he's speaking of the U.S. attorneys. Nobody was removed for reasons of partisan recrimination, nor was anybody removed for the purposes of trying to influence the course of ongoing investigations, said Snow. What do you think the chances are of that being true? Whoa, had to sneeze there. I think the chances of that being true, that those attorneys weren't removed for political reasons or to influence any ongoing investigation, I think the chances of that are nil. I think Snow's a downright liar, and he knows it. We know it. Everybody that listens to him knows it. And by the way, before I forget here, something I had a little note here to myself. This is the one-year anniversary of our new netcast program here. As you know, we were on terrestrial radio and streamed the program for about 3.5 years or so. And we then were off for a couple of months while we built our new studio, and we went back on the net 1 year ago today. So this is the 1 year anniversary of our new studio here. So it still looks brand new, and everything seems to be working fine. And I want to thank everybody that had anything to do with that. Looked at the new Time magazine, and to quote Time magazine, it says, conservatives are gloomy. The Republican candidates are struggling. Can the party reclaim Reagan's legacy? That's the one I like. Can the party reclaim Reagan's legacy? For God's sake, today's conservatives and the Republican Party are Reagan's legacy. What do they mean? Can they reclaim Ronald Reagan's legacy? They're living it right now. They cut the taxes for all the fat cats. We've got our military-industrial complex churning like never before. Profits for Halliburton up the yin-yang, and ultimate presidential power. My God, how much better could Ronald Reagan ever wanted? Trying to reclaim Reagan's legacy, indeed. And I was looking through a bunch of quotes. I love to look back through historical quotes. And you know, the more I read articles and pieces done by Dwight Eisenhower, the more respect I have for the man. And I ran across this quote by Dwight Eisenhower today, which says, I like to believe that people, in the long run, are going to do more to promote peace than our governments. Indeed, I think that people want peace so much that one of these days, governments had better get out of the way and let them have it. A quote by Dwight Eisenhower, and a good one, by the way. I think that's absolutely terrific on his part. Dwight Eisenhower, like I said, the older that I get, the more I understand that Dwight Eisenhower was indeed a very, very wise man, very intuitive. His ideas about what was coming with the military-industrial complex have all come true. He was involved in the military and saw the workings of that sordid relationship between the military-industrial complex and the Pentagon, and he knew that great trouble would come of it. It was just in its infancy back when he was the president. And he knew that greed would indeed prevail in this country, and that the large companies that were providing arms to the United States, and are still providing arms to the United States and other countries as well, that their greed would know no bounds, that they would do anything and everything they had to do to get the large contracts, to lie, cheat, and steal, overcharge our government. Greed has its way of surviving, doesn't it? It's amazing that men can stoop so low. It truly is. Hey, I want to say hi to all the folks down at the Collier County Democratic Club in Naples, Florida. The Lee County Democratic Club here in Fort Myers, or several in Fort Myers. I attended my my Democratic Club's annual election of new officers last evening. And I know probably some of you belong to Democratic Clubs, and if you don't, I certainly encourage you to do so. Get out and do something. And, you know, the fellowship's great, and you get to meet new people and enjoy old friends' company as well and talk about issues at hand and work, especially in the area where I live, and work hard to try and end the total domination of the Republicans. So I go to my Democratic Club's annual election of new officers last evening, and I don't ever run for office. I don't want to. I have enough to do with the show. And I enjoyed meeting with a lot of my old friends and some new friends as well. And what I did not enjoy and what I never enjoy when I go to the club meetings, and some of them will really throw rocks at me the next time they see me, I'm sure. But what I didn't enjoy was hearing the report of our state committee woman and our state committee man and all that. Blah, de blah, 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 blah. There's nothing personal meant by that. But what those folks have to say each month about the state party meetings in Tallahassee and the state delegate meetings that are coming up in Orlando. In other words, all of the crapola meetings, the muckety-muck grand poobahs of the party get together and discuss with each other. That doesn't mean a damn thing to the people down in the precincts, pounding the pavement and manning the phones. None of that means anything to the people. You know, they come back from these meetings and, well, we got to do this and we got to do that. Hell, we never even hear from the state party people until they want some money for something. Now they want us to put up about $2 million all over the state of Florida to help them bring in the national candidates and promote them. I sat there listening to that last evening as it droned on, and I was thinking that before we concentrate on electing any new Democrats to office, we need to first crack the whip on the ones we've already elected. They've gotten through the hole in the fence and are out running amok. And so far, they've proven, in my opinion, as a group, they've proven to be a sorry bunch. That's my humble opinion. Why? I think you'd have to agree that either have no guts or they've been bought off by big money interests. And frankly, I think it's a combination of the two. Now, I know they'll get furious with me for saying that, but sooner or later, we Democrats who voted them in have to face the cold, hard truth. They are not getting the things done we sent them there to do. I watched Joe Lieberman yesterday, and I'm sickened by Joe Lieberman. But I heard him say that he would have to vote his conscience on the war instead of voting the will of the people. Well, as much as I despise Joe Lieberman, I have to admit that there are more Democrats in office than I care to admit who have the same attitude. I know better than you, the voters, because I know more than you. That's what they're saying. I'm smarter than you. I know what we ought to do in Iraq, but you don't. Of course, this is pure old BS. I don't know how many of you saw it, but old Joe said he wouldn't rule out turning Republican, and he wouldn't rule out backing a Republican for president. Nothing new there. But Lieberman gets all the hatred for saying that, and he means it. He really is a turncoat. But we've got a lot of Democrats pretty much doing the same thing, only just not standing in front of the cameras and saying it. Not turning Republican or backing a Republican candidate for president, but the rest of the stuff. Not voting the wishes of the people. I don't know about you, but I did not vote for my senator or my congressman to go do his will. And I know there are a lot of people that would argue with me on that. That it is a representative government, and we send a representative not to necessarily represent our views, but to represent us and hear all the facts and vote how he thinks his conscience should let him vote. I don't agree with that. I hear him talk all the time about how they're not going to govern by polls. Frankly, I think they should. I think the people in each and every district of the United States, in the Congress and the Senate, all the people in the state should be polled on a regular basis, and that is how our senators and our congressmen should vote. Yes, I actually do believe that. I don't give a damn what my senator thinks on an issue personally. I want him to vote the way the majority of the people in his district, in his state, want him to vote. That's what I want. I want this to truly be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And as long as we have people like Joe Lieberman and others standing and saying, well, you know, I know the public thinks this and that, but I've got to vote the way I think is best. That may be the way the founders intended it. I don't know. I cannot read their minds. But I do know what I think, and I think I know what you think. And I have to come to the conclusion that most of you want your senator or your congressman to vote the will of the people, not his own will. What say ye on that? 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I'd like to know. Do you think we should elect some smarty pants to office that think he knows better than the rest of us and go and vote his conscience and what he thinks? Or should he represent what we think? Well, anyway, starting with the war funding issues and then going on to the AIPAC arm twisting that we had last week, it's a damn mess in Washington right now. And the people's will doesn't seem to mean a hell of a lot to very many of the Congress critters. And I would hope that at least a majority of the Democrats would try and prevent abominations like happened in the last Congress with this bankruptcy bill and the like. I hope they would at least stick together that much. I hope they have that much resolve. But damn it, the elected Democrats need to show the American public that they are not all the same. You know, you hear so many people nowadays say, I don't vote, I don't give a damn, because they're all the same, it just doesn't matter anymore. Well, that may be true. It just might be true. But I'm old-fashioned enough to know what my party was and what my party should be and what my party can be again. And I think the elected Democrats need to show the American public that they're not all the same. Well, maybe most of them are the same type of animal, but the Democrats need to have the guts and the ethics to separate themselves from the bought and paid for political hacks that are running the show right now. Will they? In my mind, that is the big question facing us right now, not who's running for president. But will Democrats stand up for a change and actually be Democrats and represent the will of the people? 866-546-5254. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. It's Greg from Connecticut.
Hi, Greg.
Well, first of all, happy anniversary.
Thank you, sir.
It's been a great year. And second, I'm a little disappointed that you're sending us over to those right-wing fights. I mean, because that's one of the reasons, besides the fact that the show's entertaining and very informative, but we listen in part because you can listen to that stuff and we don't have to go over there.
Well, Shakespeare's Sister's not a right-wing site. You need to see that video that's up there. Believe me, I know you'll enjoy it.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking about your point that you made a minute ago, and you know, on the one hand, no one despises Joe Lieberman as much as I do, you know, but you know, the point that you just made, it's kind of interesting, because if we turn that around though, and we look at see people like Mary Landrieu or the Nelson twins or whatever, you know, we're often on the other side of the coin saying, well, why don't they act like a real Democrat, and why are they, you know, voting in this bizarre way? Well, then you could say, well, their state constituency is more conservative, so they have a right to vote that way. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, I guess, when you look at it like that.
Oh, it is.
And then, you know, the other thing, too, is, you know, I agree that, you know, for the states have to, senators have to pay attention to what their constituency says. But in this day and age, with such radical agendas, you know, if one state decides, you know, we're going to say that, you know, immigrants or criminal, illegal immigrants should get felony offenses, or gay people or, you know, criminals or whatever like that, you know, we have to be, you know, say that we have to have some common sense, too, you know.
But are the people from one state to another that different?
You know, I think In their hearts, people aren't. I think that people in Texas and people in Wyoming and people in Connecticut all want the same thing. But I think it has to do with information, and I think it has to do with, you know, the kind of propaganda that they're given. I mean, I don't believe that most people in Texas are really radical, but I think they've been fed this same line of crap for so many years that they believe things are, you know, going their way, that they, you know, they will support a much more radical agenda. I was just in Europe, and I saw this piece on CNN Europe, and they were talking about, for instance, in Arlington, Texas, that violent crime is up this huge amount, like something like 60-70%. And why? Because they cut down President Clinton's program to fund police. He gave like $1 billion to the program. The Bush administration gave $5 million. So even in Texas, they're reaping the rewards of this radical agenda.
Yeah. Well, and there are local issues that people differ on. I know that there are people, some people in the North that couldn't give a hang about immigration issues, and other people that live along the border in the border states where it's rather prolific do have issues to deal with. I mean, I know that, but
yeah, it's hard to say. But you know, but I agree with you that if you take someone like Lieberman, you know, when the most of his constituency is very much against the war, and he turns around and says, you know, well, I'm voting my conscience. But you know, I would be willing to bet you he's not voting his conscience, because you know, when he was running in the primaries, he was, oh, you know, we should end that war as soon as possible, and da 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 da. You know, and then of course he switched back the minute the primary was over. I'm telling you, his agenda is he's banking very much that the president's going to be, you know, McCain or maybe Giuliani, and he wants a cabinet position. That's what he's going for. That's what he's angling for in this whole thing.
He wouldn't even rule out voting for a Republican for president, backing
one. He's pretty much already endorsed McCain. I mean, he's already said, you know, what a great guy he is. I mean, you know, here in our own state, he basically endorsed, you know, Shays over our own wonderful Diane Farrell, you know, and, you know, so, and that contributed to her loss, too. So, you know, he's just completely, you know, unscrupulous and everything else. But I just had a little anecdote, too, to finish up. You were talking about how these, you know, big party bigwigs, you know, want to, you know, are so isolated from what's really going on. I was actually working for Diane Farrell in our last election, and I was doing some phone banking, and we were supposed to call people to ask them to come to a phone banking evening. So I actually called, and I accidentally got the head of the Democratic Town Committee from the next town over, you know. So, you know, I, not knowing this, said, would you like to come and do some phone banking? Oh, he laughed uproariously. Do I know who I am talking to, and how could I do? This is the head of the Democratic Town
Committee.
How dare I call him to do some phone banking for one of our candidates?
Well, I'm on his side. How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you impose upon a high muckety muck in the party like that?
Yep. But, you know, that's, I think, part of the problem. You know, we have so many people who are just up in the clouds. We have Rahm Emanuel, also not one of my favorites, telling Democrats not to go on the Colbert Report. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just, there's this huge abyss, it seems, between average working Democrats and these people high up, you know, and especially the Beltway people.
It's a business. It's a big business. You and I are not involved in the decision-making in the business, nor will we ever be unless we... unless something radical happens in this country. But it just ticks me off to hear him come back from Tallahassee or wherever, Montpelier, or wherever they have their meetings, and say, well, here's what the party's decided we got to do. Well, you don't know squat, brother. You go back to Tallahassee and tell them, tell them to leave us alone. That's how it is.
So anyway, so that's my two cents for today. So happy anniversary again, guys.
Well, I need to ask you a question.
Okay.
I want to ask everybody today, and I know everybody will be honest. My audience is always very honest. Don't tell me what I want to hear.
Okay.
Are there any candidates running now that you are really excited about? And let me preface that for saying, like, I realize I was just a kid, but... you'd have to be my age to understand the excitement that there was when John Kennedy ran for president. I've never experienced that again. Is there anybody running right now that you can just say, oh my God, I so want them to be the president?
No, honestly, no. At this point, it's frankly more the least of all evils. I mean, you know, people say positive things about Barack Obama and this and that, but, you know, at this point, I'm leaning more towards Edwards, but it's not like I'm saying, my God, I just can't wait for John Edwards to be president. I'm saying, you know, we have to support a Democrat, and you know, and I tell people this on different sites, too. Instead of bitching about, I don't like Hillary, I don't like so-and-so, support support your favorite candidate to get them to win the primary, because once the primary is won, we have to support him or her no matter what.
Yep, yep. Even if you don't subscribe to the old adage, the lesser of two evils, sometimes you do have to hold your nose and vote.
Well, that's what I mean, we as progressives, we are always going to get less than 50% of what we want. I mean, that's the reality.
Absolutely.
I see people on Daily Kos and this and that, you know, oh, I don't like what such and such a Democratic senator is. We're going to do a primary and get rid of it. And it never works out like that. We're going to get less than 50%. So most of what we do is going to be repugnant. But if you look at McCain, if you look at a whore like Giuliani or Romney, there's just still no comparison. As much as you can complain about Hillary, she's still worlds better than these other people, and we have to keep that in mind.
They're getting started, aren't they, vilifying her? And it's going to reach a pitch such as we've never seen in politics before.
Oh, there are books being written and everything else. I mean, you know, she'll be, you know, to just worse than Hitler and stuff.
Oh, yeah. And I see we had, what's his name from the American Prospect? I can't remember his name. He was on Hannity's program yesterday, and he's written a new book. And it's an expose about the Clintons, about how Bill's still out running around. And he knows everything inside the Clinton marriage, this guy does. The guy's the head of the American Prospect, and all of a sudden I can't think of his name. He's so full of crap writing this book. But that kind of thing is just going to be on and on and on. We won't hear the end of it. That's why initially I said I hoped she wouldn't run, because
yeah.
I didn't think I'd be able to handle all the negative stuff that's going to come out. But, hey.
Well, but, you know, it comes down to this abyss again. I mean, you know, there's us who talk about the issues, and we study Hillary's record assiduously. And then your average Democrat out there who, oh, you know, I think she's okay for the most part, and this and that, you know, and it would be great to have a woman president, which it would be. But, you know, I mean, I have many issues with her record, mostly that, you know, she always runs for the center for these mythological people in Missouri, what they're going to think, you know, instead of just standing up on her principles. And, you know, and I think that that's a downfall, whether it's Iraq War or a future Iran war or whatever. I mean, you know, she always does this, and, you know, and it's not 1992 anymore. I mean, things have changed drastically in terms of the way the media is presented. It's termed in terms of, you know, just the way constituencies are. It's just this middle-of-the-road thing that got Bill Clinton in is not going to work. It even got Bill Clinton in, but it's lost us to Congress for 12 years.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely, it has. It has.
Well, so anyway, thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for your call. Good call. Thank you. It's currently 27 minutes after the hour right now. Where are we going right now? I'm looking over at the producer. Actually, that's me in the mirror there. And let's go do this, and we'll be right back.
And now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. Progress in the war in Iraq continues to be strong. But there are some in the Congress who are trying to cut off the funding for the war, using politics to harm our warfighters. If the Congress succeeds in adding a timetables to this war, everything in Iraq could fall apart. All of the hundreds of thousands of Iraqi lives that we saved over the course of the war could suddenly be in danger from violent militias. Furthermore, Iraq could lose its status as a potential vacation destination. And our troops, our fighting men and women who risk their lives every day in Iraq, could lose their deposit on the beach volleyball court in the green zone they reserved for their upcoming tournament. And lastly, what about my surge plan? This plan hadn't even been given a chance to work. So my feelings as well would be gravely hurt if we had to stop this war early. So I urge the Congress to resist the urge to micromanage this war. May God bless you, and thank you for listening to me.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
It's half past the hour here on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. Glad to have all of you along with us. Hey, and I want to ask you one more time. Obviously, you didn't do it. Head on over to that TalkStream Live, TalkStreamLive.com, and click on that Head On Radio over there on the left-hand side and see what happens, okay? Do that. A little fun. Welcome to the show. You're listening to the Guy James Show. 866-546-5254. We welcome you to call the program. That's 866-546-5254. And speaking of telephones, let's see what this one has waiting. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. It's Kevin from Washington.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, Washington, D.C. I am really excited about, his name was just mentioned ago.
Edwards?
John Edwards. He is the first one who's really bringing labor back into the political pool. And labor has been basically despised for the past 20-some-odd years. And, you know, it amazes me how, you know, the power establishment looks at the total disregard for labor issues, big labor unions, and things of that nature.
Well, exactly right. You're exactly right. And let's explain why labor is hated so much. It's because of the wealth distribution. If you take it away from the working man, it's going to go in the pockets of the fat cats that own all the stock. So the less we can pay the working man and the fewer benefits we can give him, the better off we'll be in our mansions in Park Avenue and Gulf Drive in Naples, Florida. That's why they're hated.
Because, you know, I just escaped from Florida, and I can tell you, you know, the labor conditions for most people making $30,000 and under are horrendous, and you have no rights. You basically have no rights.
That's exactly right. No rights at all.
And, you know, again, it's a total difference between night and day, between Florida and Washington. And unfortunately, I'll never move back to Florida again to work. I'll never have a career in Florida until they change. If they ever decide to do so. But that's one thing I'm John Edwards, he's bringing labor into the forefront, and it needs to come back into the forefront. You know, Chrysler, who may be closing down and being sold, can make thousands of military vehicles, but yet they're closing. If this is World War II, back in World War II, all three big three automakers couldn't put out enough vehicles for the military.
Yeah.
Yet our soldiers are getting killed every day.
That's right.
There needs to be, you know, issues. Labor needs to come back into the forefront.
Well, we certainly hope so. We've talked to a lot of labor leaders recently and people, district representatives and so forth, and they're working so hard at making a comeback, but, man, they're facing an uphill climb. Big business is shoving it to them. They really are.
Well, because they can, and, well, you know, it's the chicken and egg scenario. Until we start bringing back tariffs into this country, labor is not going to have a leg to stand on, because if you form a union, we'll leave your state.
Yeah, that's exactly how they're being threatened. Hey, go ahead and vote a union in. You will be gone the day after the vote.
Yeah, and, you know, that's what's happened in Michigan, the states where labor seems to still have some kind of pull, you know, that's what they do. They leave the state, and that's why Michigan is the hardest state to get a job in, or Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still a necessary evil. You know, this is why I say, because the two highest paid workers, which are entertainers and athletes, they're represented by unions.
Right, right.
And so, you know, and Hollywood is not going anywhere. So,
no.
You know.
That's exactly right.
So that's all I have to say.
Hey,
so.
Thanks for your call. It's good to hear from you.
Okay, then. Bye.
Yes. I'm a union man. I don't belong to a union at the moment, but I have belonged to a union in my lifetime a couple of different times, and was always proud to do so. And the unions are faced with a terrible situation right now. I remember one time I worked at a place that didn't have union representation, and the UAW came in and put on a drive to try to get a union in. And it was at the request of the employees at the place. And so the UAW comes in and, had a bitter battle. You know, the company just fought tooth and nail against having them come in. And the company pretty much just came flat out and told people, hey, you go ahead and vote for that union. And if you do, we'll move this place out of here tomorrow. Don't you worry. We'll do it. Well, the Labor Relations Board found out about that, and by the way, it worked, and the election was lost to the company. And Labor Relations Board heard about it. There was a grievance filed, and lo and behold, they had to have another election because the company had violated the rules of the Labor Relations Board in regard to union votes. So they scheduled another election, and don't you know, here comes the company and offers everybody a nice, big, fat raise. And that was enough to buy everybody off, and the union lost. But they'll do anything. They will do anything. They'll get down in the dirt to keep a union from coming in, and it's a damn shame. And that's not to say that the unions weren't without some warts either. I happen to think that during the good times, like for the auto industry, for example, when the auto industry was rolling along very well, there were times, in my opinion, that the union probably took advantage of the situation and probably made things a little bit more difficult on themselves. They sometimes ask for too much. They oftentimes, I think we've all seen the guy. I remember when I was in college, I worked at a factory one summer when I was in college, and they were doing quite a bit of construction work in this factory, and I worked my tail off. And these construction workers that were there were union workers, and I noticed one of them sitting on a stool for like 3 hours, not getting up, not doing anything. And they were pipe fitters. And so I asked the guy, what are you doing? And he said, I'm waiting to hang some pipe up there. And I said, well, why don't you? And he says, I only do straight pipe. I'm at a curve right now. And I've got to wait for the guy to come along that does the curves. I don't do curves. I don't do bends. All I do is straight pipe. Now, I said, well, can you do bends? He said, well, sure. But my contract and my union and rules say I only do straight pipe. When we come to a bend, I've got to get the guy that does the bending, run the bending machine to do that. So, you know, that, in my opinion, was ridiculous. And there were a lot of cases of things like that. So, you know, you never know. There are excesses and bad things on both sides. But I just remember the union days. By and large, it was good to have a union behind you almost always. It was a doggone good thing. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Tom Harper sent me this, and it was written completely with tongue-in-cheek, The World Through Neocon Lenses. Happy anniversary, fellow Americans. And what a glorious 4 years it's been. This is Bush speaking yesterday. The proudest four-year period in our nation's history. Just think, 4 years ago, the world was threatened by the most bloodthirsty dictator since Adolf Hitler. He had weapons of mass destruction, which he might unleash at any moment if we didn't act instantly. Not only that, but he's had close ties with Al-Qaeda and every other Islamic terrorist group in the world. They were all watching us, just waiting to see if we'd have the nerve to fight the evil dictator. If we didn't, the terrorists would know we were just a bunch of surrender monkeys. Our failure to act would encourage them to attack us any time they felt like it. Well, we showed them. When we toppled Saddam Hussein, those Islamic terrorist groups just collapsed. Poof. We haven't seen a trace of them in 4 years now. When we invaded Iraq, our soldiers were greeted as liberators. Our mission was accomplished, and within just a few days, our troops were all brought home safely. Since that time, Iraq has been a prosperous democracy, the jewel of the Middle East. Everything happened exactly as Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld had said it would. Oh, and the revenue from Iraq's oil industry has more than paid for all of our military expenditures. It was so neat. Let's do it again. Thanks to Tom Harper for that excellent piece. And my, that's just about the way they had it figured, didn't they? Oh, didn't they just have it figured exactly that way? It's remarkable when you you go and look back at how the Bush administration had this thing all planned, and it just didn't quite work out. And, you know, and here we had millions of us, I don't know how many millions of us, declaring that exactly what would happen is what has happened. Many of us declared that ahead of time. You heard Scott Ritter say it right here on this program. Exactly what he thought would happen. And it has come true. A lot of people predicted what would happen. Even a lot of good military men that were in favor of the invasion said it'll never work because of the numbers of troops you sent in. I mean, they were wrong in deciding to do it in the first place. They were wrong in phonying up the intelligence to suit themselves so that they could sell this bill of goods to the American people. They were wrong in possibly even forging information, cherry-picking information, lying about it to the American public. They were wrong in that. And even if you were for the war, they were wrong in the way they went to war and how they went to war and with the numbers of people they went to war with. Not enough body armor, not enough armored vehicles, not enough troops. Ridiculous. No matter how you look at it, if you were for or against the war, you can't find anything that these people have done right. And now here they are coming before the public telling us, oh, we're starting to see a lot of good things happen in Baghdad. You know, water seeks its own level, and the terrorist, you know, keep in mind that these neocons told us we can't have benchmarks about when we're going to leave Iraq, because if we do, these people will just go back into their caves and their huts, and they will fall silent, and they will wait us out. That's what they will do, the neocons warned us. They'll just wait us out if we tell them when we're leaving. What the hell do they think that the terrorists are doing now? They're going to wait us out until the surge is over. Or they've already started to move in other areas. We've seen violence increase many different places over Iraq. It's decreased in Baghdad and increased in other places. So they just moved their game to another town, another village, another province. And here we have George Bush. Hey, we're starting to get a lot of good news from Baghdad. Don't you believe it? Now they're saying it can't be days, it can't be weeks. It'll be months. It'll be at least July before we know if we have any indication whether this is working or not. So bear with us, folks. We've got a plan for 6 months or so. Let's just see how it goes. How many six-month plans do we have to endure before we can all finally agree that this is a disaster? It's not working. It has never worked. It's never going to work. There is no military solution in Iraq. You know it. I know it. I think everybody knows it. Bush himself must know it, or could he possibly be that stupid? I don't know whether he can or not. Tough deal knowing your president is not dealing with reality. Very tough deal knowing that reality is totally escapes the President of the United States. Let's take a little break. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is Pete Seeger. What country comes to mind when you hear this? The government illegally spies on civilians, produces phony news reports, People are imprisoned without charge or access to a lawyer. Prisoners are tortured and killed, and an illegal war launched on the basis of lies in which illegal weapons are used against civilians, against journalists and hospitals. Unfortunately, the United States government is behind these actions. Fortunately, our Constitution has a remedy. It's called impeachment. Ask your Congress member to impeach George Bush and Dick Cheney. This message is sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Any more Americans would undermine our strategy of encouraging Iraqis to take the lead in this fight. And sending more Americans would suggest that we intend to stay forever, when we are in fact working for the day when Iraq can defend itself and we can leave.
Now, Field Marshal Haig has formulated a brilliant new tactical plan to ensure final victory in the field.
Ah, would this brilliant plan involve us climbing out of our trenches and walking very slowly towards the enemy, sir?
How could you possibly know that, Blackadder? It's classified information.
It's the same plan that we used last time, and the 17 times before that.
Exactly! And that is what is so brilliant about it. It will catch the watchful Hun totally off guard. Doing precisely what we've done 18 times before is exactly the last thing they'll expect us to do this time. There is, however, one small problem.
That everyone always gets slaughtered in the first 10 seconds.
That's right. And Field Marshal Haig is worried that this may be depressing the men attached. He's looking to find a way to cheer them up.
Well, his resignation and suicide would seem the obvious.
My administration looked at the intelligence, and we saw a threat. Members of Congress looked at the intelligence, and they saw a threat. The United Nations Security Council looked at the intelligence, and it saw a threat.
Very funny!
Tell us what you think. Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
Oh, yeah, do that. Give us a call, 866-546-5254. We'd love to hear from you. We're having a good day here on the Guy James Show. We hope you're enjoying your day as well, no matter where you are. You know, how do you figure out some of these politicians? I know I never can. You know, the Senate had that overwhelming vote to end the Bush administration's ability to, I guess, unilaterally fill U.S. attorney vacancies. And it was kind of a backlash to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez's firing of 8 federal prosecutors. So the Patriot Act, as you may have learned by now, has allowed kind of some backdoor appointments without having to go through, kind of like recess appointments, that they really don't need Senate approval if it's deemed an emergency. And that's what they plan to do with all these things. I told you, and I'm not the only one, of course. Millions of us knew that they would abuse the Patriot Act. We knew that there were many provisions in that Patriot Act that would be taken advantage of, such as Tom DeLay hunting down the Democrats who had fled Austin, Texas, to keep from having to vote on something there. Used the Patriot Act to hunt them down. Wasn't that something? And it's been abused several times, and here we are. Well, we know why they put those provisions in there. But with a 94-2 vote, the Senate passed a bill that canceled a Justice Department-authored provision in the Patriot Act that has allowed the Attorney General to appoint U.S. attorneys without Senate confirmation. Essentially, the Senate returned the law regarding the appointments of U.S. attorneys to where it was before Congress passed the Patriot Act, including the unilateral appointment authority the administration had sought in the wake of the 9/11 terror attack. 94-2. So you think you might know who the two are. I automatically would have said Mitch McConnell and John Kyle. That's what I would have come up with. I'm figuring I had at least one of them right. Wrong. Kit Bond of Missouri, Republican. And of all people, Hagel of Nebraska. You think you know where Hagel's coming from? And, man, I don't know where that vote came from. I really don't know where that vote came from. I don't know. Well, they keep us on our toes, don't they? And I just found this out just a few moments ago. You've heard about that that campaign ad featuring Adolf Hitler. Well, it's been quite a week for Mr. Smooth Talker, Mr. Mitt Romney. First, he ignited a firestorm by quoting Fidel Castro in Miami. And now one of his leading fundraisers is linked to a campaign ad featuring Adolf Hitler. According to campaign finance record, Romney backer John Rakolta was one of the primary funders of a Michigan group responsible for hate-filled ads targeting Governor Jennifer Granholm in last year's election. Of course, you know, Romney has a Michigan connection, his father being the former governor there. Hitler ads against Governor Jennifer Granholm. The ads purchased by a group called Voice the Vote featured images of Hitler and a swastika, alongside Governor Granholm and Democratic Presidents Clinton, Carter, Johnson, and Roosevelt. Rakolta, who serves as Romney's National Finance Co-Chair and the co-chair of his Commonwealth PAC, and his wife, each gave $5,000 to Voice the Vote last year. The news that one of Romney's leading fundraisers backed a racist ad in Michigan comes days after the Washington Post reported that Bob Perry, who gave $4.5 million to Swift Boat Veterans for Truth campaign in 2004 to distort John Kerry's military record, is now raising money for Romney. Romney's decision to team up with Perry comes despite the fact that he once championed tough campaign finance proposals that would have limited the influence of people like Perry. In 2002, Romney proposed taxing political contributions to finance publicly funded campaigns, and in 1994, he publicly advocated placing spending limits on congressional campaigns and abolishing political action committees. With Alex Castellanos, who's been called one of the fathers of the modern attack ad, heading his media team, it's not hard to see what kind of campaign Ricolta and Perry are raising money for. With the voters rejecting his smooth talk, it looks like Mitt Romney's campaign has kind of taken a nasty and desperate turn. Wow, Mr. Nice Guy, Mitt Romney. You think we got problems on the Democratic side? You think we're going to have problems getting someone that we can be passionate about? How'd you like to be a Republican right now and take a look at the field they've got? Nothing but the ultimate flip-floppers and as anti-family values as anybody could get, at least in the way they've lived their own lives. Don't do as I do as I say. And if Newt Gingrich gets into the fray, that'll just make it all the better. Don't they just always return? Man, don't they just always come back? What's his name from Louisiana? Bob, his name's getting away from me at the moment. He was going to take Newty's place. And turns out he had a little S&M problem with certain people around Washington, D.C. It was exposed. And he resigned and got out of town. Now he's back. Now he's back being kind of a consultant for CNN, talking as though he's nothing ever happened. It amazes me how he and Dick Morris come on TV and just act like nothing ever happened. Nothing ever happened. Dick Morris. No, I was never a pervert, but forget that. I want to tell you about how much I hate Hillary Clinton. And Bob, God, why can't I think of his name all of a sudden? Senator from Louisiana who resigned was going to be the Speaker of the House. I'm having one of those days. But he's back on TV like nothing ever happened. He was shamed beyond shame in Washington. And yet here he is. He's back. He's been cleansed. Somehow they do that, don't they? The conservatives over on the other side, they're able to go to rehab someplace and get cleansed. Like the pastor out in Colorado did recently. Went away to rehab for 3 or 4 weeks and he's not gay anymore. He took that anti-gay rehab training, and after 3 weeks, he's just he's cured of what he said was his affliction. Odd. But they can't forgive Bill Clinton. But they can all cleanse themselves, and they come out of this all smelling like a rose. No matter what they've done, it just doesn't matter. They can do anything. Morally reprehensible, it doesn't matter. And they make a comeback. Should the likes of a Newt Gingrich ever be accepted in national politics? That guy? He's got the morals of Caligula. And yet, he's well accepted within the Republican Party. Ah, yes. Hypocrisy. I love that smell in the morning. Here we're going to pause for news. Coming up at the top of the hour, we hope you'll stay with us here on the Head On Radio Network and the Guy James Show. Hope you'll join us, too, in the next hour. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
This is the Quality News Network. House Democrats are offering billions in federal funds for lawmakers' pet projects to get their votes for a funding bill that would bring the troops home by August 31st of next year. Some of the projects range from building peanut warehouses in Georgia to millions of dollars in financial relief for California spinach growers dented by last year's E. coli contamination. In a formal veto statement last night, the White House denounced what it called excessive and extraneous non-emergency spending and dismissed some of its provisions as unconscionable. The spokesman for Al-Qaeda in Iraq has said the terrorist group is prepared to use new methods in its efforts to rid Iraq of U.S.-led forces, and their latest method is poisonous chlorine gas bombs, which they use in explosions that cause more casualties and widespread panic. A number of the attacks have already taken place since January. Coalition forces are scrambling to find the bomb factories before the next one is detonated. A car bomb this morning detonated near a Baghdad police station. It killed at least 8 and wounded another 17. And other sectarian violence around the country today, too. Iraqis were killed. Iraq hanged another of Saddam Hussein's former henchmen at 3 o'clock this morning, Iraq time. Saddam Hussein's vice president was originally sentenced to life in prison for crimes against humanity, killing 148 Shias in the 1980s. However, an appeals court decreed that sentence too lenient. Vice President Ramadan was the fourth of Saddam Hussein's regime officials to be executed. Congress wants to know how the FBI overstepped legal restrictions in gathering communication and financial records of Americans and foreigners while searching for terrorists. A key concern in Congress is whether the Patriot Act should be revised. Congress first authorized FBI agents to obtain electronic records without court approval in 1986. Well, he was weak and dehydrated, but he's alive, okay, and out of the woods. 12-year-old Boy Scout Michael Owlberry was found by search and rescue teams this morning in the rugged North Carolina mountains, 4 days after he wandered 1.5 miles away from his troop's campsite. Promising news out of the six-party talks in China regarding North Korea's nuclear disarmament talks. China's foreign ministry said North Korea had indicated it would abide by an accord last month under which it agreed to shut down and seal one of their nuclear reactors. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are up next.
Heads up, crew. This is Captain Mike from Bombardier's Lounge, World War II Big Band Jazz. I've got a book for all of you crew members interested in World War II in the air. Its title is Letters Home, Memoirs of a World War II Troop Carrier Pilot by Frank G. Hathaway. Hathaway's book is dedicated to the air crewmen who lost their lives in the Southwest Pacific, 1942 to 1946, while flying their unarmed C-46s and C-47s over the jungles, the ocean and mountains in New Guinea and the Philippines. In his book, Frank talks in his letters home about his experiences flying as a pilot with the 6th Troop Carrier Squadron, the first squadron of troop carrier planes in the Southwest Pacific. This is a book you're really going to enjoy having in your library. It's available at Amazon.com. Get this book. Ask for it by name. Letters Home by Frank G. Hathaway, published by Trafford Publishing. That's an order.
Procter & Gamble has won a jury award of $19,250,000 in a civil lawsuit started 12 years ago. P&G alleged that Amway distributors used a voicemail system to tell thousands of customers that part of Procter & Gamble's profits went to satanic cults. The former Amway distributors were shocked by the jury's decision. Alan Greenspan is still commanding attention and getting paid handsomely for it, as in $100,000 for an hour-long speech. He's doing quite well at it, too, averaging about one of those speeches a week. On September 17th, his new book will come out. For that, he received an $8.5 million advance, a record for a nonfiction book, and second only to President Clinton's $10 million advance for his memoir. Honda is recalling 166,000 vehicles in America to repair defective fuel pumps. Models being recalled include several versions of the Accord, the Odyssey, and the Acura. The stronger-than-expected rebound in new home starts helped offset investor caution ahead of the start of a two-day Federal Reserve meeting on interest rates. And on that note, the Dow is up 38 points right now in volume of 12,264 shares. The NASDAQ index is up 8. S&P 500 is up 5. Light sweet crude currently is trading down 27 cents a barrel at $56.32. And gold is up $4.20 an ounce. This is the Quality News Network. I'm Michael Coleman.
show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, back at it for the second hour of the program today. We'll be gone right up till 5 o'clock. We hope you'll join us at 866-546-5254. No screeners, no questions, just... Well, that's how it is. We just listen to our listeners. That's all. Get rid of this cough drop here. Yeah, having one of those days. 866-546-5254. We do hope you'll join us. Much happening all around. We've got this U.S. attorney scandal that won't seem to go away. I have to wonder, are we going to get anywhere with any of this stuff? Anybody remember back when, during the Clinton administration, I was thinking back there a minute ago during the break. You remember Whitewater? You remember when that broke? It was just such a huge story. The press hung on every word coming out of Arkansas about a land deal that the Clintons were involved in many years before that, before Clinton became the president. Remember what a hot deal that was? Nothing came of it, right? Nothing. Compare that to Plamegate. The Valerie Plame scandal we've seen unfold over the past few years. Here we have a covert CIA agent, and don't anybody argue with me on that. The woman testified under oath that she was, in fact, covert. The CIA has stated that she was covert. So Victoria Tunsing and Robert Novak and the rest of you can all go straight to hell. Because you've been lying about this woman all along. You have lied about it all along. If Valerie Plame was lying on the... under oath the other day, do you think for one moment the leaders of the Republican Party wouldn't be coming up right now and saying, the woman lied, she lied under oath? Well, she didn't. And there's proof enough. So, Victoria Tunsing, baby, you're wrong. You are a liar. And Robert Novak, you are a liar. They outed her. They outed her. They should have been prosecuted for that. But unfortunately, Scooter Libby himself was sitting on the information and took the rap over this whole thing. And evidently, nothing's going to happen over it. He's going to get a slap on the wrist. He's going to get a light sentence. He'll get a pardon from the Bush administration, and nothing will happen, and he'll be taken care of for the rest of his natural life. That's how it's going to work, folks. Valerie Plame was outed by the White House. There's no question about that. They did it to cover up their massive lies to the American public about going to war in Iraq. They didn't want us to know. We know for a fact that Dick Cheney and those around him tried every trick in the book to make sure they discredited Ambassador Joe Wilson when he came back from Niger and reported that the country had not sold yellow cake uranium to Saddam Hussein's regime. in spite of what Cheney and these boys said, the Office of Special Plans and all that, they even tried to use forged documents they knew were forged to prove Wilson wrong. And I hope someday we'll get to the bottom of who forged those documents. I have an idea who did. And it wasn't good enough to smear him. No, they had to turn it on his wife. They said she sent Joe Wilson to Niger when we know now for a fact that the CIA sent him because the vice president's office wanted the Niger story checked out. How many times have you heard Sean Hannity and Limbaugh and the whole goddamn gang of them say, oh, she had her husband sent to Niger. That is a lie. We know for a fact it is a lie. It did not happen. She did not have the authority to send him to Iraq. She could suggest, she could throw his name into the hat, and at the behest of her immediate boss, she did. But they turned on her. An ugly, ugly story. And then the vice president office says Wilson claimed that the vice president himself had requested that it be Wilson to take on the mission. Absolutely not so. They're calling Joe Wilson a liar. They say that Joe Wilson himself claimed that the vice president had him sent on that mission. That is absolutely not true. I defy anybody to give me an audio clip or any verified statement that Ambassador Joe Wilson made that where he said that the Vice President of the United States sent him, Joe Wilson, on that mission. Wilson never made a claim, and I defy anybody to bring forth evidence that he did. They're saying it over and over and over again that Wilson lied about that, and he did not lie about it, and there is no evidence that he did. Hannity and that drug junkie Limbaugh will tell you to this day, every day, that Wilson lied about the whole thing. And I challenge anybody to bring forth evidence that Wilson told an untruth, any untruth about the Niger story. Who outed Valerie Plame? They say it was Richard Armitage. How did Richard Armitage know that Valerie Plame was covert CIA? Why did Karl Rove say she was fair game? Why was the story circulating at all within the vice president's office in the White House? Why? Why did Cheney have notes on newspapers that he scribbled about the whole thing? Why did Scooter Libby tell Dick Cheney himself that Libby had heard the story from him first? And Cheney said, me? And now we have the Republicans calling for the pardon of Scooter Libby because it was just a little white lie he told that really didn't mean anything at all. Really, it didn't mean anything. Special Prosecutor Fitzgerald was on the trail of whomever outed the CIA agent at the request of the CIA. Do not forget that. The Democrats didn't ask for this investigation. The CIA asked the Justice Department for this investigation. And Fitzgerald, a tried and true conservative Republican, was chosen for the mission. The Democrats had nothing to do with it. Just a little white lie. And as you've heard undoubtedly numerous times, who died because of this? Did anybody die? How many careers were ruined? What kind of espionage was taking place on the part of the United States over weapons of mass destruction? Their careers were ruined. Their missions were ruined. People might even have died. You know, that was Fitzgerald's mission. Not tracking down a damn liar like Scooter Libby. But he asked questions of Scooter, and Scooter boy lies his ass off. I'm not saying he may have lied his ass off. No. Unlike these people that are asking for the pardon now, I'm saying he most definitely did tell Patrick Fitzgerald a pack of lies. Just like the ones he told the FBI when they questioned him. You got to admit, admit it takes a lot of balls to stand up and lie to the FBI and lie to the grand jury. And, you know, you've heard the story. Those of on the right are going around trying to sell the story that Libby's only guilty of having a faulty memory. I'm sorry, that one doesn't wash. Because a jury of his peers convicted Libby of lying to the FBI and the grand jury. So faulty memory, my hind end. He's a convicted felon. There is no longer a discussion about whether or not he's guilty, whether or not he had a faulty memory. He was convicted of a felony. Convicted felon. No more talk about a faulty memory. He's a convicted felon who has lied to protect his superiors, and that is a damnable crime when it involves outing a covert CIA agent, and don't let anybody tell you different. Somebody high up in this administration is guilty of treason. And I would bet you that the guilty party without question is Dick Cheney. Oh, the balance of it all in Washington. Anybody remember the huge scandal the media reported about Travelgate during the Clinton administration? You remember that? It was a story about getting rid of the folks who arranged some commercial travel for the administration's officials who were fired and they were replaced by Clinton's cronies. Oh, big deal. They made this out to be a huge deal. A scandal about travel arrangements. Compare that to the latest slime we've discovered concerning the political firings of 8 U.S. attorneys. They hand-selected 8 U.S. attorneys for dismissal because they wouldn't file charges against Democrats, the administration, or, in other words, Karl Rove, people that he wanted tarred and feathered for political reasons. Then they lie about it to Congress. They say the firings were for cause. Because of bad evaluation, bad performance. And then we find out the evaluations of most of the fired U.S. attorneys were just fine. Then what? Then we're told, let's see, that didn't fly. I think of a new one real quick. It was just a normal change. Just a normal change because the U.S. attorneys serve at the pleasure of the president. How many thousand times have you heard that now? Served at the pleasure of the president. And evidently the president just wasn't pleased with them anymore. We're told a few senators even called the U.S. attorneys and tried to influence them into what the attorneys were doing. This is at least unethical, at the very least unethical, and at the other end of the scale, most likely prosecutable. You cannot try and influence a U.S. attorney. I don't give a damn who you are. If you're a senator or the hot dog vendor down on the corner, you can't do it. And now we know that Karl Rove was up to his usual tricks in this mess after being told he was not involved. Oh, no, not Karl. First, it was Harriet Myers that hatched the plan. She was going to be the Scooter Libby of this little mess. But slowly and surely, we find out that Carl was, once again, up to his ears in dirty political tricks. And did you see his statement at that little soiree we was at last week? He said, well, it's just politics, and that's okay. It's just politics. It's all just politics. Carl, we don't play politics the way you play politics. You wonder why everybody in Washington on the Democratic side's after Karl Rove's ass? Guy ought to be wearing a striped suit in Leavenworth. We know the White House was firing U.S. attorneys for political reasons, not their stated reasons of poor evaluations and poor performance. That is a damn lie. Yes, these attorneys do serve at the pleasure of the President of the United States. However, once they're appointed, they are not bound to listen to what is the pleasure of the President of the United States regarding who they should prosecute for what offense. Absolutely not. That is a bogus story They serve. They're appointed at the pleasure of the United States, the pleasure of the President of the United States. But once they're appointed, once they're sworn in, they are not obliged to follow what he does and does not want done in particular cases. That is another Republican lie. They cannot be influenced by the White House or by the senators in their states or by any other political interference. That is not legal. The appointment of a United States attorney does not mean that that person becomes the grand inquisitor for the Bush Inquisition. They've spun this every way possible, but the dark cloud keeps forming over the Justice Department and the White House. And my God, if there's any department in the city of Washington, D.C., that the public ought to have absolute trust in, it's the Justice Department. You know, there've been prosecutors say, and there was always a saying in the Justice Department, that my word is my currency. Now it's counterfeit. Their currency is counterfeit. But do you know the whole question when it boils down to it? Will anything meaningful come of this furor over this whole thing? I doubt it. Oh, sure, Gonzalez might have to go along with a couple of other Justice Department officials, but will the White House have to do any explaining for the actions of Karl Rove or others? Will the Democrats push hard to haul his ass up to Capitol Hill and make him testify under oath? I doubt it. They'll do the usual. They'll huff and they'll puff and they'll threaten to blow the house down, but they'll back off. They always do. Come on, Patrick Leahy, prove me wrong. Oh, how I would love to be wrong on this. Spoke to him at a small gathering in Washington just not so long ago. And he really got red in the face and slammed his hand down on the table and said, "By God, now that I'm the chairman of this committee, we will not let these people get away with things like this. We will not let them put more Scalias on the court. We blah, blah, blah. Prove it to me, Patrick. Prove it to me." Sad thing is, the truth be told, I seriously doubt this administration is ever held to account for any of these scandals that have come along. The plame issue, dead. Lying about the WMDs, dead. The Walter Reed and the VA scandal, dead. They will not be held to account by the Democrats, and you can put your money on that, and I hope that in a month, 2 months, 6 months, a year from now, you can call me up on this program and say, "Man, you were so wrong. The Democrats really put it to those guys. Some of them are doing time. They're being prosecuted for felonies." I hope you can call and tell me that. But I'm betting you won't be able to. I have little confidence right now. Very little. Man, I hate to say that. Do you think it's possible that some of these people will come to the Hill and not be sworn in? Will they be able to pull that off? Like who Condi Rice did? "Yeah, I'll come up and sit down and answer your questions. I'm not swearing to anything, though. You guys are not getting me in that trap like you did Bill Clinton." Uh-uh. No. "Oh, so you say you insist that I be sworn in. Well, we'll just take it to the Supreme Court and we'll just see. We'll just see. Want to bet who wins that one?" Oh, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I'm saying Karl Rove will not raise his hand and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth as he knows it, to the Judiciary Committee of the United States Senate. So help him God. I am betting that he will not have to do that. Nobody important in this administration. Remember when Dick Cheney and Bushy Boy had to go talk to Fitzgerald about the Valerie Plame mess? Did they get sworn even by the special prosecutor? No. If you don't get sworn, you can't be prosecuted for perjury now, can you? You can get prosecuted basically, you know, I guess it's possible to get prosecuted for lying to Congress, even if you're not sworn. That is possible. Even if you're not sworn, you can get prosecuted for lying to Congress. But make them stand there, make them take the oath, and by God, if you got to take it to the Supreme Court, if you got to fight them tooth and nail, appeal, I don't care what, do it. But one way or another, I would love to see Karl Rove stand there with his hand in the air, swear and tell the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And of course, that's not going to entitle us to hearing the truth, because if Karl knows that nobody is going to rat on him, he'll stand there and lie his ass off. He's a master politician, after all. He's the craftiest one that's been there for a while. He's avoided this at all costs. Rove, if you stop and think about it, and if you're as immersed in this attorney scandal as I have been over the past couple of weeks, I think you will see that Karl Rove, this is a massive conspiracy by Karl Rove over the past months to try and get these prosecutors to prosecute Democrats for election fraud, to intimidate Democrats, prosecute Democrats, to make sure that there is no election fraud, to make sure that the Republicans will have clear sailing at the polls next time when they want to pull off their usual crap. That's what this is all about. That's exactly what this is all about. They were trying to feather their nest ahead of time and get rid of all obstacles in their way. We also know that at least one, Ms. Lamb, was involved in the Duke Cunningham prosecution, and that prosecution, it is rumored, not just rumored, may have led all the way to the vice president's office over the sale of furniture and so forth, and then Duke Cunningham ends up buying a yacht for $100,000. Well, he didn't buy it. What was his name? Wade, that bought it for $140,000, and it became Duke Cunningham's yacht, and it just so happened Wade, is that the name, Wade? Just so happened that he got himself this $140,000 yacht right after this guy had gotten a $140,000 contract to put furniture in the vice president's office. And she gets fired. Odd, don't you think? Thought I had a note on that around here somewhere. I'll keep looking for it, but I thought it was most interesting that she's doing the Cunningham thing, and she gets canned. Well, can't find my note on that, but it's an ugly situation, potentially very bad situation, but anything happening about it? No. They've won every one of these battles so far. Every one. Think about it. Think of all the things back over the last 6 years that you've thought, finally, these scoundrels have been caught. Yeah, they've been accused. They've been caught. But they've been in your face and said, so what? They've been convicted of nothing. Little old Scooter Libby is going to go to jail for a couple of months before he gets pardoned. Or ends up dead. Who knows? That could happen. But Scooter is not going to squeal. Absolutely not. Well, I think we got a call over here on line number one. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. It's Phil up in Daytona Beach.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, I just walked in and turned you on and read the piece on the Horn webpage about White House offering up Roe for discussions, not sworn testimony. And first thing I did, Guy, I got out my phone book for the Congress and dialed up Leahy, talked to his person, and, you know, tried to keep my language civil. You know, the poor girls that have to answer the phone. Then I called Spector's office, the same thing. You know, and I asked them, are they getting calls on this? And they are getting quite a few calls. So we may be able to make a difference here if the callers call in. You know, Spector's the ranking member, right, on the judiciary. And
yeah.
Now Leahy's the chair. And I basically said, you know, 6 years of this crap, we're tired of it, you know. Start serving the American people and the rule of law. These guys need to be under oath.
Well, you're right, and he's saying that, but I'm going to ask, where's the beef? I'm waiting to see it. And
I'm with you, guys.
Are you a betting man?
You know, I'm not, you know,
Well, just for giggles here, would you bet that Karl Rove ever has to raise his hand and swear?
Based on the last 6 years? And I had to bet, yes, but damn it, I'm tired of it, Guy, and I'm going to do everything I can to try to not have that happen, you know,
yeah.
which means, you know, calling into the show and encouraging folks to take 5 minutes and what is the White House switchboard is 202-224. Oh, what is it, man?
I don't have it here handy.
Yeah, 3124, something like that. I have the directory for the main number. But call in and Spector and Leahy and give it to them. Give it to them, you know. We, the American people, are sick of this crap. We want nothing less than these criminals under oath.
Yeah, if he goes up there and puts his hands up and swears to tell the truth, and a few others do that back him, that'll back him up. Everything. I won't be happy about it, but at least I'll be able to say, okay.
He's under oath.
Yeah.
And the, you know, and the government has acted as it's laid out to act. You know, and the number is 202-224-3121 for the Capitol switchboard. And folks listening, if you just pick up the phone and hit Leahy and hit Spector's the Republican side, and just give it to them. Sound like one pissed off American that's tired of 6 years of this crap, and let them know.
Did you know, Phil, that Alberto Gonzalez, here we've got the... I was amazed when I saw this today. I knew about Bush, but I didn't know... let me just play this here real quick while you're online.
I'm not a... I tend not to email. Well, I don't tend not to email. I don't email because of the different record requests that could happen to a president. I don't want to receive emails because... You know, there's no telling.
Alberto Gonzalez?
It would show up.
Well, it's Bush.
You know, part of some kind of a story. And I would be able to say, well, I didn't read the email, but I sent it to your address.
I can't hear it on the phone.
Yeah, you can just hear it. Anyway, that's Bush saying he doesn't use email, which is remarkable for a president of the United States. But also, there are no emails in any of this from Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez because he does not use email either. My.
Oh, man, these guys, there's so much dirt on these guys, Guy. You know, you know, the American people are just going to have to step up more and really start giving it to these members of Congress and say, you know, no more. We want you to nail these guys.
When in this day and age, what possible reason could there be for the Attorney General of the United States refusing to use email? What possible far-fetched reason could there be?
Geez, I don't know. Somebody monitoring emails?
Yeah.
I don't know, Guy. But I really think that the American people, if we have a chance to do something about this criminal enterprise that has hijacked our country for the last 6 years, we have a chance right now, but it's going to take the American people, you know, the listeners to the horn and everyone else to put some effort into this, you know, and get on the phone and give these senators and these representatives, you know, a piece of our mind and force them to do something. They are so cowardly. They are so concerned about, you know, the 08 elections and everything. We are going to have to force them to hold this administration to account, you know.
Well,
and it really is on us, Guy.
If we don't, nobody else will, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call, Phil. Good to hear from you.
You too, Guy. Yeah. Glad you're back. Yeah. Thank you.
Bye now. Yes, I don't know who sent me this. And another interesting tidbit is that there are no emails from Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, who reportedly does not use email. Another top Bush administration official who doesn't use email. Does this remind you of anything? What was that that mafia guy that went to prison a while back and died in prison, and his wife and kids had a TV show? I'm so bad with names like that. I really am. I can't remember. But, you know, people my age, I guess, I think of the Gambino family. Just exactly Bush and Gonzalez and others in the administration not using email, what that reminds me of is, like, you know, these crime families would have their meetings in the back room of a pool hall or something. But lest it be bugged, they would go out and stand at the street corner or under the street light or by the fire hydrant and have their conversations in person, because that way they knew there was no record of it and no bugging or anything. That's what these people remind me of. They don't dare use email for fear of incriminating themselves. You think it's not a shady bunch? You think that's not a shady reason? The Attorney General of the United States is so goddamn corrupt he can't even use email? Because he's afraid that somebody will investigate him later on and catch him? Yes, thank you on the chat room. Gotti, John Gotti. You remember the pictures of him going out and standing on the street corner talking to his other bosses? That's what this reminds me of. The Bush crime family standing out on the street corner talking to one another. They know their phones aren't bugged, but no email, guys. No email. Don't put it down on paper. What a disgusting bunch this is. Really and truly. A very, very disgusting bunch of people. I never dreamed. I readily admit, never in my life did I ever dream we'd be faced with an administration like this. I didn't like Nixon. I didn't like Ronald Reagan at all. Bush won, but this takes the proverbial cake, as it were. Let's go back to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello, Guy. This is Malin from New Jersey.
Hi.
I think the Republicans sort of learned their lesson, I would say, after Rosemary Woods could erase that those tapes. I mean, it sort of brings back memories.
Oh, they've been at it a long time, haven't they?
To them again, that same thing could happen to them as long as there's any kind of a record at all.
Well,
I mean, I'm old enough to remember that, and it just strikes me. It's so funny that even Nixon was so silly to tape everything, you know. I just don't know where he thought he could do it, no one find out. But,
did you feel way back then like I did when I first heard there were tapes of that I was going, what?
Well, I didn't know they did such things. And like, I found it even hard to believe that Johnson had done the same thing. Even these little phone calls to his wife and everything were saved. I mean, you know, I just thought something historical I could see being saved, but not like little just conversations, but I guess suppose that, you know, you never know what's going to be said in a conversation.
Well, it would force almost anybody to be something that they're not. Knowing that that recorder was going all the time, you would, you know, you'd hold back on conversations to certain people.
Well,
you might.
Yeah, well, I think you'd also probably keep your swear words down to a minimum.
I didn't stop Johnson.
No. Well, I was getting back. I wanted to get back to this, this under oath thing. You know, I knew we were all destined for 6 years or 8 years of horror when the this, remember the energy people all got together after the election.
Oh, in the first month.
And they would not. They didn't have to be under oath. I just thought that was so strange. And then it's been the same ever since. I mean, how many people have been under oath? There are only several, I guess, that have been under these. Maybe it was Gonzalez. I'm trying to think. So
Condi Rice. Condi Rice wasn't. And, of course, Bush and Cheney in front of Fitzgerald. I can't think.
Yeah. Don't you think that everybody that testifies to a committee should automatically be under oath?
Absolutely. What's the harm?
What is the sense of you that if you're going to go in there and tell lies and not be under oath, then it really is all for nothing?
Well, they act like it's some sort of professional courtesy just because you're the Attorney General of the United States.
Oh, because you're high up, you can't do anything illegal.
Yeah, we have respect for you. And
if the president does it, it means it's legal. Okay, guys,
yeah.
I just wanted to mention that to you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for a good call. Yes, the president does it. So it must be legal. Yes, indeed. Hey, we're going to pause for a break. We'll be back in a moment.
Of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. Turn to me as if to say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you. Cry out in the night as they grow restless, longing for some solitary company. I know that I must do what's right, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I seek to cure what's deep inside, frightened of this thing that I've become.
They say don't go on Wolverton Mountain if you're looking for a wife. Cause Clifton Flowers has a pretty young daughter. He's mighty handy with a gun and a knife. Her tender lips,
her tender lips
are sweeter than honey, and Wolverton Mountain protects her there. The bears and the birds tell Clifton Flowers if a stranger should enter there. All of my dreams are on Wolverton Mountain. I want his daughter for my wife. I'll take my chances and climb that mountain. Though Clifton Flowers, he might take my life. Her tender lips are sweeter than honey, and Wolverton Mountain protects her there. The bears and the birds tell Clifton Flowers if a stranger should wander there. Well, I'm going up on Wolverton Mountain. It's too lonesome down here below. It's just not right to hide his daughter from the one who loves her so. Her tender lips are sweeter than honey, and Wolverton Mountain protects her there. The bears and the birds tell Clifton Flowers if a stranger should wander there. But I don't care about Clifton Flowers. I'm gonna climb up on his mountain. I'm gonna take the girl I love. I don't care about Clifton Flowers. I'm gonna climb up on that mountain, and I'll get the one I love. I don't care about...
Oh, yeah, thanks to Billy Shears, music director here at the Guy James for Guy James Show, for pulling that one out. That goes back a ways. Claude King and Wolverton Mountain. I thought some of you might enjoy that. There are probably others of you sitting there going, what the hell? Ah, yes. Claude King and Wolverton Mountain. I was just a child when that was out. Well, maybe old enough to know better. Anyway. 866-546-5254. That's 866-546-5254. 54. They say don't go on Wolverton Mountain. Here we go. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Juanita. How are you doing?
Hi, Juanita. Doing fine today.
You were talking about the plame hearing, for one, and I watched that one, and I hope that they will hold Victoria Tensing, or whatever her last name is, to watch it. She is so adamant about... Mrs. Plame not being, what is it, undercover?
Yeah, you know, Victoria Tensing, she uses the crutch that, well, I helped write that law. Well,
oh, yeah.
Okay, so you did.
Well, why anyway would anybody out anybody, whether they're covert or not, you know?
Sure, well, we know why.
And if she didn't talk to the CIA and she didn't talk to Valerie Plame, where did she get her information?
Yeah, well, she's a hatchet woman for the party.
Isn't she, though?
Oh, she is. Her and her husband, Joe DiGenova,
yeah.
You know.
I know both of them well.
Let me ask you, I can't pull this off on radio, but, you know, every time I've ever seen Victoria Tensing, her condescending attitude on TV, she always sits and kind of with her body to one side and looking to her left at the camera. She must think that's her good side. Did she do that at the hearing, kind of sit to a side and turn her head so that she was looking? I
don't know.
I was working
was
and I didn't. I was working.
All dressed up.
Yeah, I was working and didn't get to see it, but I
she didn't look anywhere as good as Valerie Plame did.
Well, who does?
She was real cutesy, too. She was like, oh, and Goldwater said this, and Goldwater said that, and they finally told her, you know, we're not asking you that.
Yeah, well.
In other words, they pretty much told her to shut it.
Yeah.
And the one lady kept saying, I claim my time, I claim my time.
Yeah, very objectionable woman, Victoria Tenzing.
Yes, she is.
She had a big article in the Washington Post about pardoning Scooter Libby. She thinks this whole thing, you know, they're a bunch of saints in the White House.
Yeah, that is like, oh, yeah, they're everything's perfect, you know, with their whatever they do, nothing is wrong.
Certainly.
And also, I'm very interested in about the lawyers and all like that, too.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what shakes out of that, but I'll stick to my prediction that nothing serious will happen to any of them.
I know what you mean. I'm like that. Take everything with a grain of salt. You have great hopes something is really going to happen, and then nothing does.
Justice. That's all we want.
Right. And you were talking about the people running for president.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anybody.
Yeah, I'm not passionate about any of them.
No, me neither. I want somebody that's a liberal and who's proud to say they're liberal. I don't understand what being moderate is. I don't understand that.
No, either have views or you don't, and they should be strong views. They shouldn't be namby-pamby views that, you know, that you should have. You should be strong in your views on everything.
Right.
That doesn't mean to say that you can't be persuaded to change your mind, but what you believe, you should believe with all your heart and soul.
Mm-hmm. And I believe you should listen to other points of view.
Sure.
But it all adds up, you know.
That's right.
Maybe you would change your mind. There's nothing wrong with that.
My mind is open to change on almost everything if good, solid evidence is brought.
Right.
That's the way I feel.
Right. That's the way I feel, too.
Thanks for your call, Juanita. Good to hear from you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I haven't mentioned it. It's a sad thing to mention that yesterday was the fourth anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq. And as you all know, I think it was May of 2003 that Bush declared mission accomplished. And there's been over 3,000 Americans die. I'm thinking the number when he said that was somewhere around 160, 159, somewhere in there. And to think that over 3,000 more have died since then, and 24 or 25,000 wounded. And to now know that we're not taking care of them properly. It breaks my heart. And I know many of you as well. To know that a lot of our kids are coming home grievously wounded. And not getting the utmost care. They ought to have the finest care that money can buy. The best specialists, the best physicians, the best nurses, the best facilities, whatever is the best in the United States, the very best, the top of the line, where the rich people go, that's where these people ought to be able to have. That's the kind of service they ought to be able to have. And to give them anything less than what is the very best, the very finest, is just absolutely criminal. And I know this has been a problem for many years. I know that. But it's exacerbated now with the numbers that are coming home. Terribly wounded. Some of the awful wounds. And we don't often see the really bad ones on TV. No, I'm afraid you don't. You see somebody with an arm or a leg missing or both or whatever, and that's an awful thing. That's an awful thing. But there are cases, well, there are cases that are far even worse than that. And the idea that they're not getting the best care is just, you know, our military readiness is substandard right now. Our army has been depleted. The readiness for another conflict someplace, should something serious come up where we have to go and respond, we're not ready. And this This from the party that's claimed the Democrats have been soft on the military, been soft on defense all this time. They've allowed our military to descend in such a deteriorated condition. That is criminal. And despite the fact that Democrats won both chambers of Congress in last year's election, as you well know, mainly on a platform of change in Iraq, Harry Bush has been able to put 30,000 more troops in Iraq in this surge that's supposed to last through early next year. And how well is that escalation going? Just look around. Take a look for yourself. There's plenty of information out there. While the Shiite militia are laying low, the Sunni insurgents are adapting their tactics and attacking outside of Baghdad. With those, now they got these chlorine bomb attacks they're using out in the Al Anbar province. It's, you know, and perhaps more telling, a new poll shows only 18% of Iraqis, 18%, only 18% of them have any confidence in the U.S. forces, and 51% now believe violent attacks against our troops are acceptable, including 90% of the Sunnis. And despite all these facts, Senate Republicans are blocking a vote on legislation that would set a withdrawal date from combat troops in Iraq for the next year, while leaving behind maybe some for training and counterterrorism operations. House Democrats expect to pass some kind of legislation this week, but Bush will ignore it. You know he will. The only way Bush can be forced to change course is if more Republicans jump ship and Democrats push for stronger measures, but they won't. So I hope, as we enter year number five and they see the continual lack of progress, some of them might jump over to our side and help out in this situation and do what's best for America instead of what's best for the Republican and the Democrat parties. Until then, even after 4 years, I think we can expect each new day of the Iraqi war to bring the same as all the others did. More death and destruction and despair for the people in Iraq and for the people in our own military. It's an absolutely ghastly situation. My heart grieves for the parents of these kids coming home in horrible condition and for the kids that have been lost. But evidently it's okay in Washington, D.C. Hell, there's a lot of monuments to a lot of dead people in Washington, D.C., and they'll build another one someday for the veterans of the Bush War. And damn it, that's what it ought to say on it, the Bush War. This war need never have happened. It's an abomination that it did. It rests squarely on the shoulders of George W. Bush. Whether he was the one that was behind it all, I don't know. Douglas Feith, Paul Wolfowitz, the White House Iraq War Group, all the people that fed all the phony information into this, we're probably responsible for the whole thing, but George Bush eventually put his seal of approval on it and gave him the go-ahead, gave him the thumbs up to start the shock and awe. It was wrong of him, and it was wrong of all the people that decided to convince him to do it, if he needed any convincing, in fact. Dreadful situation that we've allowed this to happen in the United States of America, and I, for one, am ashamed. I'm deeply ashamed of how my nation has acted in this whole situation. I couldn't be more ashamed. I love my country, and I know all of you love your country. But my country, right or wrong? No. Hell no. As the old saying goes, when she's wrong, when she's right, she's right, and when she's wrong, she's to be put right again, and that's our job, folks, to put her back on course once again, the right course, the course we know is the proper one for this great nation. Thanks for joining us today. Glad to have you with us here on the Guy James Show, part of the Head On Radio Network. pleasure being with you as always. And please do remember, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Have a good one, gang. See you tomorrow.